religious people than any other kind that profess some kind of religion. That didn't have it. It's like Brother Zane tells, I don't know if he's told it out here, but that brother, I won't mention the name, but that brother got happy one day and he ran across the church. Have you told that here for them? He said he ran straight back over and sat back down. Brother Zane said, "What happened?" He said, "I thought I had it, but I didn't." You remember that? Tell me that. "I thought I had it, but I didn't." Now, that's what's going to happen to folks when they get in hell that thought they had it and didn't. They're going to say, "I thought I had it, but I didn't." I don't want to be deceived by that. Do you? Now, we want to plead the mercy of the Lord. I don't know at the times I've came in here and had evangelists, you know, that sometimes they'd park out here or stay, and they'd be in here praying. And I slipped in here one time and I had an evangelist up here, and I couldn't help but hear him pray. And if you didn't know better, you'd think he was the worst sinner that was in the whole county. Just the pleading and crying and sobbing, "God, you know how worthless I am and how low I am and what a sinner I've been." And just crying and sobbing. And I stood in the floor. He didn't know I was here. And heard him praying like a pure sinner. And boy, that night when he hit the pulpit, boy, he was blazing. But we got to have that attitude. Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. I don't want to go in there on my own merits. Do you? Anyway, these Pharisees were religious people and Sadducees. Now, here's the, they come to Christ and they come tempting. The Pharisees and Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now, I want you to notice, they came, they did not come to really want to know something about a sign. They come to tempt him. They come to tempt him. You ever talk with anybody about the scriptures that really didn't want to really know? They just wanted to start an argument? Huh? Anybody? I remember taking a long trip with a preacher one time, and I got bored. And so I thought I'd stir up a little conversation about something not controversial but had different opinions, so we could take opposite sides and talk all the way where we was going and pass the time. So I asked this old brother, I said, "Brother, how do you believe about the coming of the Lord?" You know, because people has a lot of opinions about that. And he said, "Well, I can tell you right off what I believe." I said, "What do you believe?" He said, "I believe what the Bible says." End of conversation. So we drove a while. I said, "Hey, brother, what do you believe about sanctification?" Guess what he said? "Brother, I can tell you right out what I believe. I believe what the Bible says." We didn't get no argument going at all. All he wants to say is he believed what the Bible said. Amen. These Pharisees and Sadducees come to Jesus just wanting to agitate him, get him in, tempt him, get him to say something wrong or out of the way, or get him to do something. You know, the devil tried to get the Lord to do things that he could have done, but wasn't God's will for him to do. And Christ let him know, "Hey, I come to do the will of the Father. I'm gonna do. But he came tempting him. Now, how many knows in your studies that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not get along? Y'all ever studied that? Have you ever brought unity to a service? I have. I went to churches that were split. I'd done it lately, a couple years ago. They were mad at each other. I brought unity to that service. In the first service, they were all mad at me the time I got done. I brought unity. Amen. Praise God. That's what Jesus did here. He brought unity to these Pharisees and Sadducees. Amen. They hated each other, but they hated him more. So they got together, and they came up, and they said, "Give us a sign from heaven." Now you say, "Well, what's so wrong about that?" Well, he just fed 4,000 people plus with a few loaves and fishes, and they saw it, but they wanted something more. They wanted something from heaven. They denied that he was the Son of God. And he had done these things to prove who he was, and amen. If they should have known. How many knows that they? I remember Brother Ralph Lowry preaching here one time on "I've seen enough." I've seen enough. Anybody remember Brother Ralph preaching "I have seen enough"? In other words, God don't have to show me nothing else for me to believe. Whoa, about to feel like shouting here this morning. Don't let me scare you, but I'm about to get happy. I've seen enough. How many can say this morning, I've seen enough. Hey, these Pharisees, hey, why is it we're after all these years of miracles, why is it that we're still coming looking for God to speak out of the heaven? Why don't we just believe what we've already heard? Why don't we just thank God for what we've already seen and experienced? Now look what he said. Now Jesus got upset at this. And he said, he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it'll be fair weather. In other words, you're not that dumb. You observe some things and you catch on. How many knows that with observation? You ever hear older folks, little thing? Do y'all believe in the woolly worm? Do y'all believe the woolly worm, the colors on him that winter's going? Y'all, anybody here believe that? Huh? I've heard that all my life. And you know, you say, well, there ain't nothing to that. But wait a minute. Sometimes when people live long enough and observe, if they observe close enough, they can tell certain things happen in nature that you know, proves this or that or the other. That's what these Pharisees did. They could watch the sky, and they had learned to observe the sky. How many knows the kingdom of heaven cometh not by observation? You understand what I'm saying? They wanted to reason, rational it out, figure it out. Hey, here it is. If the sky, and here's, I can't never remember if it's, you know, red sky at night, sailor's delight, red sky in the morning, sailor's warning. Anybody ever hear that before? Y'all ever see if it works or not? I'm always so busy. Somebody told me yesterday, boy, it's been a hot one this week. I said, you know, I haven't noticed. I've just been so busy and running and made 3 or 4 trips a day down here. And something's always aggravating me, so I didn't know if it was the heat or what it was, you know. And then I got to thinking about, well, yeah, I guess it has been kind of warm. I never really noticed that bad. You say, you about gone. Y'all looking at me like that fella when I told him about my claustrophobic problems. I didn't like to ride airplanes. And he just kept looking at me, and I said, yeah, I get in there, and I get to sweating, get to breathing heavy. And he looked at me, and I said, yeah, I really need the Lord to help me. He said, you need a psychiatrist. Huh? Yeah, he didn't. Well, I don't need a psychiatrist. I just need Jesus, don't I? Huh? We're going to get through this. Hey, you'll have to admit, I mean, as goofy as I am, I'm happy most of the time. You'll have to admit, huh? It's got a smile on my face. But these guys observed in the sky. They could watch that sky. And they, hey, have you ever noticed how folks can figure out everything else? You get them out of church, and man, they can figure it out. Get in church, and they just go brain dead on you. They don't hardly act like they know how to live and save their life. It ain't that complicated. Somebody say amen. It ain't that complicated. It may be difficult, but it ain't complicated. It's simple. Whoa, come on now. Holiness is not that hard to figure out. Just read your Bible. Pray on your knees. Get the spirit of holiness in you, and it'll lead you. How many knows the Holy Ghost will lead you in all truth? Woo! Man, I'm about to feel him right here. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Listen, let me read this little weather prediction. Huh? When it is evening, you say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. You know, they observe the weather because, you know, they're on the seashore. A lot of their income was going out in ships and fishing and going, taking their goods over to another shore. And so it paid them to observe and to look and to figure. And so they'd watch the sky. I believe it's okay. Go ahead and sail. Save them a lot of money sometime. But he said, look, you can observe this, but you won't take the time and the effort it takes to look at the Son of God and know that I am God's Son. Born in Bethlehem, read the prophets. Was the Son of God to be born in Bethlehem? Check. Yes. Born of a virgin, check it out. You knew Joseph personally? How about it? What did Joseph say about it? Did Joseph say, oh, yeah, angel of the Lord visited me. Amen. My wife didn't know my wife. I didn't put her away when she came up expecting. And the reason I didn't put her away was because the angel of the Lord told me that the child she had was of the Holy Ghost. You Pharisees never heard nothing about that. You've had your nose in field and stream. Put it in the Bible a while. Where'd that come from? I dropped in there. I'm not against the field or the stream. But I'm going to tell you what, we get so preoccupied, we know how to make money, don't we? Hey, man, come to church and don't hardly know beans from apple butter about it. I'm going to tell you, he said, look, you want a sign from me? You need to open your eyes. I just fed 10,000 people up here with a few loaves and fish. And you, hey, where do you think that come from? Was that not a sign from heaven? He said, I'm not going to give you a sign at all. You ain't got sense enough to know now, you ain't never going to have. Sat in a little better spirits than that, but he did say that. Listen to this. Listen to this right here. In the morning, you say, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky's red and lowering. Oh, you, let me say this so I won't lose nobody. Oh, you, hypocrites? Couldn't think of nothing else to say right there. Oh, you blessed pretenders. Huh? Oh, you that thought you had it and didn't. Y'all ain't getting this. Ten more minutes. I got five gifts to me last Sunday, so 10 more minutes. Listen to this. Here it goes. Oh, you hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? And this is what he says to him. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Who does? A wicked and adulterous generation. That's where we're living right now. Woo! I feel like preaching a little bit. Hey, I'm going to tell you, America. You look at the culture of America, and they're just constantly wanting you to prove what makes you right and everybody else wrong, and what you judge me. I'm telling you, you can get to. It was in the paper this week, and God, I ought not even mention it. But Cher. Anybody remember Cher? She had a little girl, and she decided to want to be a little boy, and so, and it was all in the news about how, and it kept calling Cher her son. Now, come on now, I just went to the 12th grade. I got more sense than that. Come on now. It's a crazy world. Now, don't judge. Don't you judge. Hey, that's perverted as it can be. Are you listening to me? But they want to say, now you tell me, God did not make three different type of genders. He made male and female. The only ones God made. Hey, man, it's humankind's trying to make the in-between, and there ain't none. There ain't no need. You say you're a bigot. A big it? Well, that don't sound too bad, does it? A big it. At least I'm something, praise God. I'm not a bigot. I'm a Christian. I believe in the Word of God. Huh? But you take people, this world is constantly out here. But I'm going to tell you, America was born on holiness, Christian, Judeo-Christian principles. We backslid. This is nothing new. You talk about standards, and I tell you, everything I preach here has a standard, and we don't dwell on it very often. I really need to shuck her down more often, because some of y'all forgot what exactly we believe. But I'm going to tell you, it's in the Bible. Amen. There's not one thing I preach out of there that I don't have some scriptural basis. I'm not going to waste my time preaching you something I conjured up on my own, because it ain't got no power in it. But I'll tell you, this world is acting like we're a bunch of idiots. Give us a sign. What do you mean, give us a sign? Amen. Columbus, amen, discovered this world because God ordained it. Read his journals, amen, about how he sought God, and God provided, and God made, amen, made it possible. Read about the first settlements in Jamestown, and the first thing they did was erect a cross and build a church, and the first teachers in their communities were preachers, and they taught them the Word of God. They wanted them to learn to read so they could read the Bible. Quit acting like a bunch of spiritual dummies. I think I've gone too far here. said, I just don't know. He said, you can discern the face of the sky. You can tell the weather. You know when to set sail. You're just putting on, you bunch of hypocrites. You know I'm the Son of God, and you just don't want to admit it. You know holiness is right, and you just don't want to live it. Quit acting like it ain't nothing to it. And if you could prove it to me in the Bible, how many verses do you want to know? How many times does God have to mention it before it means law and order? He called them wicked and adulterous. And I don't believe this word just means cheating on your wife or husband. It means spiritual adultery. Y'all feel this? You ain't getting this, are you? Oh, I feel like running down this aisle a little bit. Need to lose some weight anyway. Hallelujah. Whew. We're going to take care of that air conditioner next. You know better, he said. You're a wicked, you know, he said you're an adulterous generation. You know what that means? That means you were married to God, but you're not now. You committed adultery against God. You didn't know what holiness was, but now you're not living it. You've committed spiritual adultery. I did show you my plan, and you rejected my plan. You know I'm the Son of God. I really believe, Brother Zane, they knew he was the Son of God. You say, how could anybody know he was the Son of God and not serve him? Because they were wicked. How many people you know that really, they really know, amen, that God exists and Christ died for them, but they still won't serve him? It's a spiritual adultery and wickedness. Now you would think that he would be a little easier on these nice weather men. Wouldn't you? Just the weather. He was telling them, you got more sense than that. How many sees what I'm saying? You got more discernment than that. You mean you, through observation, have figured out how the clouds lay and how the sky looks, that it's going to be a fair day tomorrow, and you don't have enough discernment to understand the signs of the time? When, brother, there was more prophecies, I wish I could remember. It's in the Thompson Chain Bible, in the back of it, in them studies. How many fulfillments, Brother Mac, that Christ fulfilled, scriptural fulfillment, prophecy. How many knows the Bible is the only book that has fulfilled prophecies in it? Now, Robinson Crusoe didn't have any. Tom Sawyer didn't have them. Huh? They didn't have them. The Bible's the only book that predicted something and it came to pass and has never missed one yet. Christ came, and I was reading Josh McDowell. He's got a book on, and I've got a little sermon. I may give you the title to it. I've been working on a little sermon on I Won't Be a Monkey's Uncle. Does that sound like a good message? I'm working on that. It's a little evolutionary message, you know. And you know, I'm not going to be a monkey's uncle. And I'm not going to claim a monkey for an uncle. Huh? Come on now. Y'all looking at me strange. But I'm going to tell you, that's for a later date. I'm working on that one. It take me a little while, but I read Josh McDowell's Evidence Demands a Verdict. And he talked about the possibilities of one man fulfilling all the scriptures that Christ fulfilled and the chances of that. And he said the odds were the same as if you went to the state of Texas and put silver dollars 4 foot high all over the state of Texas, put one silver dollar with a dot on it, and the chances of picking that one silver dollar out of all those silver dollars in the state of Texas is the odds that one man would ever fulfill all the scriptures. And I'm telling you, that's a miracle. And here are these people. I'm about to get done. How many of you have come to this service, seen the power of God move, and it gets a little quiet once in a while, and I don't even know if God's real or not. God's real. Huh? They weren't accepting Christ. Got two more minutes. They weren't accepting Christ as divine because they had an evil, wicked heart. They just had seen him feed a multitude of people. They'd seen blinded eyes open, lame men walking. I want to ask you, have you seen enough? Have you seen enough to believe? Are you going to have, if God never does another miracle, are you going to live for him to the day you die? Huh? Is holiness right? Is holy, sanctified living, Is that what the Bible teaches, or are we full of unbelief? You know, if you don't believe that, you've got unbelief in you. Because that's what the Lord teaches. Amen. Well, all rise. God's good, isn't he? Boy, didn't you enjoy Brother Robert this morning? Well, that was good, wasn't it? Amen. Brother Mac, give him 30 minutes. He took 45. You don't have to talk to him, Brother Mac, about that.